Welcome to Sermons from Silver Moon with Pastor Phil Barber of the Silver Moon Full Gospel Church. The Silver Moon Full Gospel Church is committed to preaching the Word of God and invites you to join them for Sunday morning worship at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night service at 6:30. Now, here's Pastor Phil Barber with today's message.
Well, when I started this sermon, I was really going to preach on Ruth and what a wonderful story Ruth is. But as I went through it, as the Lord led me, I switched from Ruth to her mother-in-law, Naomi, because in my heart, I sense that God wants to give all of us a turnaround in our lives. And so we'll be emphasizing that, and everybody goes through a different phase. But Naomi goes from tragedy to triumph. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. So if you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to the book of Ruth and just keep it close there. And I'm going to show you how Naomi moved from tragedy to triumph. All of you know that life by its very nature confronts us with problems. Things don't work out like we thought they would. There's a sudden turn in the road that catches us completely by surprise. These problems can be the problems such as the death of a spouse, the breakup of a marriage, a crippling illness, the loss of a job, or financial ruin, or many other problems. And when problems come into our lives, we can face these problems basically in three ways. We can face them and work through them. We can ignore them and pretend they're not there. Or we can run from them and try to avoid them. And I want to show you how God moves you and I from tragedy to triumph. I said this last week. God has a great unknown tomorrow for you. But how we get there is another thing. We looked at last week, just one step of preparation is that you and I have to learn to submit to others, especially those who are above us. Before we can ever really submit to God like we should, we must learn to submit to those who are in authority. And by doing so, you will learn to submit to God when the test comes, when the devil comes, and when the battle comes. The circumstances that you have gone through or are going through or will go through will be God's tool or tools to prepare you for the turnaround or the unknown tomorrow, tomorrow that you cannot see. Let me say this again, just get simple. The circumstances that you have gone through, are going through, will go through, are the tools that God is going to use to bring you to your turnaround or the unknown tomorrow, the one that you cannot see. In our story this morning, there was once a man from Bethlehem of Judah, by the name of Elimelech. He had a wife and two sons. Things suddenly went bad for him financially. And rather than stay in the land that God had given him, the place that God had put him, and with the people that God had put him with, and work through these tough times, he packed up and moved to avoid the difficult days he saw ahead. I find it interesting that Elimelech means, "My God is king." But he did not live like that. In the time of trouble, he moved away from the promised land. Naomi, which means pleasant, would painfully learn that her family made a bad decision. You should not run from your problems, because you'll learn, if God is your God, that things may only get worse. When times are tough and the days are difficult, rather than run from your problems, you should run to God. You should believe his promises, and you should trust his plan and believe in his love for you. Let me say that again. When times are tough and days are difficult, and every one of us will know tough and difficult days, rather than run from our problems, we should run to God. We should believe his promises. We should trust his plan. Believe in his love. The book of Ruth is an interesting book because Ruth speaks less than Naomi and less than Boaz. If you went on the plot of the book, what it's about, and that's what happened as I began to study it, you could really name this book, the book of Naomi. If you went by the number of words spoken, you could name the book Boaz. If you went on the importance of what happens in this book, the birth of a child who is named Obed, you probably could name the book Obed. But Ruth makes the most sense because she's present in every scene except one, and that's at the market gate. Ruth has all the elements of a well-written story. We have agreement, grieving Naomi. She's a backslidden Hebrew, widow, who knows nothing but suffering and death. Ruth is a wonderful story because it's a story of grace, but she's a pagan, but she's also a grieving widow. She's barren, but the good news is she's loyal. Boaz is a wonderful hero. He's compassionate, and he's faithful. The setting during the book of Ruth, is during the book of Judges. It takes place in Bethlehem, Moab, Boaz's field, the threshing floor, a city gate, and a bedroom. The plot in this book moves from famine, moves from blight to bitterness to blessing. Blight, which I mean by disease, death, and affliction, decay, to bitterness, anguish, pain, and distress, from blessing, which means grace, forgiveness, and richness. And God will use her circumstances, Naomi's circumstances, to bring her to a place where he can bless her again. And so we'll look at that story. We'll begin with point number one this morning. If you keep an outline once in a while, we'll call it blight. And we'll begin with verse 1 and we'll read verses 2. In the days when the judges ruled, that's important to note, there was a famine in the land. That is very important to know. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. It simply means that was the area. It's kind of like saying, you're a Dimonite, you're a Granbyite, you're a Sinagite, or a Neosholite, but you're from East Newton, okay? That's where, and he's from, these are Jewish people. And they went into the country of Moab and remained there. Let me say, this is God's word for God's people. And all God's people said, thanks be to God. Well, the few that we have, okay. Forgive me. First, remember, this is the time of judges. Now, you can remember this very easily. How many judges are there in the book of Judges? And the judges, and I'll just give you a couple names, are Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Samson, and there's 8 more. So there's 12 judges. So if anyone ever asks you how many judges are, you'll say 12. And how do you remember that? How many disciples were there? 12. I find that interesting. So there's 12 judges in the book of Judges, and then there's 12 apostles. Now there's one more judge who will show up, and he'll show up in the book of 1 Samuel, and his name is Samuel. And he is the judge that moves Israel from the period of judges to the period of kings, and this is important, and prophets. Samuel's really a prophet himself, but really, he's the great prophet, the greatest prophet since Moses. And let me say this, the reason you need prophets when you have kings is, you need prophets to speak against the corruption of politics. That's what most of them do. Some of the greatest prophets lived in the northern kingdom of Israel, named Elijah and Elijah, for example. And these people will be carried away by the Assyrians. So Israel will move from judges to kings. But the whole book of Judges is a period of 325 years. It also includes the enemies of Israel, such as the Moabites, Ammonites, Midianites, Canaanites, Philistines, and the Mesopotamians. But the main purpose of the book of Judges is to show God's faithfulness and deliver his people after they have turned from him, and how he works to bring them back to him. If you are a true child of God and you stray away, God is going to work to bring you back. Now listen to me. If you are strayed away and you do not sense God working to bring you back, you might ought to ask yourself, Why? And sometimes I wonder. I've seen those who called Christ their Lord and Savior, and boom, they're gone, and they're gone. I'm not saying God doesn't work. But you're the one that ought to ask the question. It's not my, I can't judge. I'm not with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not my place. Not anybody else's place. But you know your life. You ought to ask yourself, why isn't God working to bring me back to Him? But it'll also show us how sin and rebellion will put us into bondage to Satan and sin and the flesh. Quickly, I want to give you the cycles that we find in the book of Judges. And I think that's slide 8, okay? Just go with me. Start at the top. Israel serves God and experiences peace. Then they move to evil. Israel does evil in the sight of the Lord. Because they're evil, Israel experiences war and slavery. Because of this, Israel cries out to God. Isn't it a shame that we have to go through a mess before we cry out to God? And then Israel repents and turns to God, thank God. And God raises up a judge, such as Samson or Gideon, to deliver Israel, and brings them back to the cycle. Israel serves God and experiences peace. But they go through this 12 times. 12 judges. Sad. Judges were not kings, but they were warriors. Now, in the book of Ruth, we're somewhere between 2 and 3. Don't know exactly. I'll tell you that we're closer to the time of Samson or after than anywhere else in the book of Judges. And the reason I say that is the end of the book of Judges has two stories, two events that take place in Bethlehem. And this book of Ruth, where does it take place? In Bethlehem. So I call it the Bethlehem trilogy. Now, what goes on in the end of the book of Judges is very gross and horrible. I'll just put it that way. It's not a good time. But God sends a famine. Be a lot of churches, they don't want to tell you that. Like God wouldn't do anything like that. But God sends a famine. It even says in the time of Joseph in the book of Psalms, when Joseph was in Egypt and his family was in Israel, it says in the book of Psalms, I wish I could think, you can look it up, check me out, that God sent a famine. God sent a famine because these people were not living for God. I'm going to tell you something. You may think you can just live any way you want, but God's not going to let you live any way you want if you're His child. He sent a famine. And you know how we sum up the book of Kings, and we sum it up from the book of Kings? There's a verse that says, Judges 21:25, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I was teaching in Bible school a long time ago. I was with John, I think, at MBI there in Houston teaching. And we had two or three students who wanted to argue with me and said, well, that's not my convictions. I said, I don't care what your convictions are. I wonder what God's convictions are. Because your convictions may not line up with God's convictions. Because I know this, the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And this is why this is important. Because the family of Naomi did what was right in their own eyes. There's a famine in the promised land. In the land that God had given them. This was their land, their family's land. When the children of Israel moved out of the wilderness into Israel, each tribe had its own area. We'll call it its own state. And within that state, each family was portioned out a piece of property, which would be theirs forever. Oh, they could sell it, but in the year of Jubilee, guess what happened? The land returned back to the original owner. Now, there's a little bit of preaching there. God intends for you to return to paradise. The paradise that was lost by Adam and Eve belongs to the family of Adam and Eve, given by God. It's their inheritance. And salvation is about God bringing us back from paradise lost to paradise regained. But they not only sold it, they left it. And they went to Moab. They did what was right in their own eyes. Amalek decided to run from the problem, so he sells his land that God has given his family. He gathers up his wife, Naomi, and his two boys, and he heads east to the expansive grain field plateau of Moab, which is on the other side of the Dead Sea. Now, listen. Here's a famine. And all of us might say, this is a reasonable decision. Makes sound sense. You got to do something. But you know what it wasn't? It wasn't a faith decision. We'll trust ourselves. We'll make a decision. And we know from the scripture, and they should have known, any time someone left the promised land, it did not end up well for them. They could have looked to their father Abraham, and they could have looked to their other father Isaac. It never ends up well. But they made a decision to leave. They disobeyed God's direction. Not only that, they moved into Moab, and Moab is one of their enemies. One time in the book of Judges, Moab rules over Israel for 18 years. You know what they did? They left Israel, and they moved to Moab, where it looked like there was plenty. But you know what was in Moab? A spiritual famine. God wasn't in Moab. The tabernacle wasn't in Moab. They moved away. And running to Moab, of all places, was a clear evidence of their unbelief. They leave the people of God. They leave Judea. You know what Judah means? Praise. They leave the land of praise to go to the land of Moab. And that's what happens. One day we wake up and we've left. We're not in the place of worship. There are people who worshiped in this church. They're in bed this morning. And church is all across here. They're not worshiping. They're not praising. Oh, they got probably a good excuse. They don't have a better excuse than he had. At least they were hungry. They were starving to death. And we're going to Moab because there's food there and there's not food here. They move for praise. They leave Bethlehem. What's Bethlehem mean? The house of bread, where the bread of life is going to be born in the future, where God is going to bless the nations of the world. So they said they left the Ark of the Covenant, which was in Shiloh. From the human perspective, it looked like the right move because the grass was greener over Moab than it was in Bethlehem. But you and I must learn, we are not walking by sight, but we're walking by what? Faith. And so they backslide, and it seems justified, and God isn't blessing them. Now get this. The problem was they didn't see the hardship as a reason to turn to God. Get this. But as an excuse to turn away from God. That's already telling you, you have a spiritual problem. And so they draw closer to the devil, sin, and their enemies. Now let me give you an application here about this. You need to remember this. When you choose to go your own way, God will not stop you. When you choose to go your own way, God will not stop you. Because you already know which way you should go. Adam and Eve, don't you think, God, why don't you just jump in the middle there and say, no, you can't go this way. Why? Because God's already told them. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they chose to eat of it. And God didn't stop them. Moses, well, let me add this, and they were kicked out of paradise. Moses was told by God, one, the first time, to strike the rock, and when he did, water came forth. The next time, God told Moses to speak to the rock, but in anger he struck the rock. You think, God, this is Moses. You a man. Why didn't you stop him? Because it's your choice. We're free moral agents. We do have a will. And Moses struck the rock and it kept him out of the promised land. Now I'm not saying, now we're going to say God will bring you back. But if you're going to make a choice, God will let you. Remember I mentioned David last week. David should have been at war with kings, but instead he is at home on a roof, taking a day off, leisure time, I guess, when he should have been doing what he should have been doing. And when you're not doing what you should be doing, you're going to get yourself in a mess. And then he looks across, and on the other rooftop is a beautiful young lady taking a bath, and we all know the story that takes place there. But David was not stopped. But he knew the law. The law, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he was bound and determined to do it. And he brought death upon four kids in his family because of his disobedience. God will not stop you if you choose to go in your own way. And so we move from a famine to funerals. Let's read verses 3-5 here. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. And she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died. So that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Well, that is tragedy, guys. That is sad. If I could pull it off and explain it, I should be able to bring all of you to tears for Naomi. She's lost them all. All gone. When they moved to the city of Moab, they had plenty of food. And life was good. But her husband died. She never dreamed she'd be a widow. But she had two sons. And they married Moabite girls. But things don't go from bad to good. They go from good, bad to worse. Because these two boys die. And she is a widow, but get this. She's now childless. And really childless. Because in that day and age, everybody lived to have grandkids. Someone to carry on the family name. And so she is a widow, and she is childless. But not only that, not only do we have one widow, we have three widows. One is childless, and two are barren. They've been married somewhere about 10 years, and they're not, either one of them have become pregnant. So there's no child for Naomi to carry on Amalek and her boys' names forever. Listen, God intends for your name to live forever. And that's why there's a book of life. And when you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, he writes your name in the book, and it's there forever and ever and ever. You turn away from God Almighty, you won't live forever, and your name won't live forever. Lost, 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 gone. And that's where Naomi is. Now get this. Naomi's sin now has cursed her daughter-in-laws. In the end, your rebellion and your sinfulness and your wickedness will curse those you love. And Naomi knows this. Remember what I said? Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. The book of Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. I'll give you another application. The assumption would be this has to be a tragedy, and it seems like one. But God will increase the value of what you need the most by ensuring its absence by what you go through. Listen, Naomi will bring her daughter-in-laws, and she's going to go home. But she tells them, now go back to Moab, and here's why you need to go back. I am not going to ever have a child again. Who can? Because in that day, if son number one died, then son number two would marry the widow of son number one because the name's going to be carried on. But she's saying, I'm too old to have a child. And anyway, by the time I have a child, he'll be 18 and you'll be old. So it's best you go back to Moab because I can't do anything for you. And so Naomi is broken completely because she realizes it's over. It's the end. There's no way out. Our name's gone. Our family's gone. Our name's over. It's over. It's over. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem and die. And that's going to be it for the family of Amalek. All of it. Over. But for you to understand how special something really is in your life, sometimes God has to take it away. Did you get that? Sometimes God has to close the door so you can understand what you've lost. And how important it really is. Let me give you another application. Not all your circumstances are from hell. Sometimes God will allow your circumstances to be difficult simply because he wants to build something in you. So Naomi returns home. And all her former friends, who she left 10 years ago or more, run out to meet her and say, oh, it's Naomi, which means pleasant. And Naomi says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitter, bitterness. The Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord, Jehovah, has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. But Naomi knows who has dealt with her. The first step to having a turnaround is knowing that God has dealt with you. And you should not be surprised, if you're his child, that God has sometimes dealt with you to correct you, to turn you around, so you'll be what he wants you to be.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Silver Moon with Pastor Phil Barber. To find out more about today's message, you may contact the Silver Moon Full Gospel Church at 417-472-3360. The Silver Moon Full Gospel Church is located on Highway 59 North between Neosho and Diamond, Missouri. Morning worship is at 10 a.m. with a Wednesday night service at 6:30 p.m. The Silver Moon Full Gospel Church, where the distance is worth the difference.
Never miss your favorite show again. For more than 30 years, KNEO has been bringing you great Bible teachers on a local and national level. And now, we've made it easier than ever to hear from these great men and women of God. KNEO's entire lineup is now available to listen anytime, anywhere, through our website. Go to kneo.org/podcast to see all the options. You can search for programs alphabetically, or you can select individual categories like culture, kids, leadership, or music. We even have a category just for locally produced programs, so you can hear from pastors and spiritual leaders located right here in the four-state area. And all these resources are absolutely free. KNEO's mission is to get God's Word in front of you, and this is one of the ways we do it. Give it a try today. Go to kneo.org and click on the podcast tab to get started.